Good evening. Thank you so much for joining me, Linda Reagan, this evening in the Reading KKRN studio as the Scratched Up Players presents Arts Around Town. And I want to thank all of you who have donated to keep this community radio station on the air. It really does have something for everybody. And if you haven't donated yet and would like to help keep us up and running, please go online to KKRN and find the donate button. We all donate our time, and we appreciate your support. When you go online, be sure and check out the station's schedule. And if you miss one you would like to hear, you can usually find it online. Now, as usual, I'm in the studio with Lily Dubois, our technical wizard and creative advisor, without whom this show would not be possible. Our guests today are from the cast of Roe, the play about the woman behind the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court case that made abortion legal in 1972. If you've been paying attention to the news, you know that the Supreme Court recently reversed that decision as the law of the land and returned the matter to be decided in each individual state. I can talk about this play because I'm a member of the cast, and I have to say it's a very controversial play that presents both sides of the question very fairly, with characters who were actually there at the time represented on stage. For instance, Sarah Weddington was the lawyer who argued the case, and the man who was head of Operation Rescue, Flip Benham. The actor portraying Flip Benham will be with us today, Jet Thomas, and a very gifted young lady who plays several roles, Ernestine Bottom, will also be with us. This month will be a repeat of last month's show, because everybody's schedule has been so busy and crazy, and a lot has happened this month. Axiom's schedule has been revised due to a car accident involving Matt McDonald, star of Ruthless, and man of many parts in Roe. Ruthless was canceled, and Jeffrey Taylor has taken over Matt's roles in Roe. Performances of Roe will be the same as before, tonight at 8. If you're listening to this show, you are too late for tonight, but you can still catch this rewarding production at tomorrow's matinee. 2 p.m., and tickets at the door or online. Roe will have one more performance Saturday, August 27th at 7:30 p.m. Riverfront Playhouse opens September 9th through the 24th with Crossing Delancey. And October will bring Fall of the House of Usher, but we will have more about that next month. By the way, we will also talk about the return of the Rocky Horror Picture Show to Axiom Repertory Theater. And if you are a Rocky-type actor, Axiom wants you for the singing, dancing, acting lead. That's Rocky himself. So if you're interested, contact Axiom Repertory Theater. So I'd like to introduce you to my guests, Ernie Bottom and Jet Thomas, who are both in the play Roe, as I told you. Jet plays, what's his name?
Benham.
Benham, not Venom. They call him Venom. And and Ernie plays many parts. She plays Rhonda with Operation Rescue and
Holly Hunter.
Oh, that's right.
And Pregnant Woman 2. She's my favorite. And then I also play the lovely Gloria Allred.
That's right. And you've been filling in so much that I forget who you play.
Me too.
Okay, so we are going to talk about the play Roe, which is about the woman who was behind the Roe v. Wade decision. How do you feel about being part of this play, Ernie?
I think it's such an opportune moment to take part of history in a theatrical sense, which is like the basis for artistry, you know, just exploring the world around you and what's happening in a theatrical way. And I love the way this script is written from all points of view. And it doesn't just tell one side. And I think that is truly unique and hard to come by, especially from the actor point of view. To get to portray various points of view is really neat.
It is. Mm-hmm. I think it's very exciting. And our director is very adamant that we do that. I'm really, really grateful to her for that.
Me too.
And how about you, Jet? How do you feel about being part of this as a man? How does it feel to be among all these women with, you know, what is considered a woman's issue? I don't think it's just a woman's issue, but...
However, you must remember that it was decided by men on the Supreme Court.
That's it. And
back then, there were no women on the Supreme Court. Now it's a little bit different, but things have changed. And I think that this play is an excellent one for people to come and see because it's more historical than anything else. But it also presents, as Ernie was saying, both sides. If you're pro-choice or you're pro-life, you should come to see it because you get to look at what the controversy was all about, is all about.
Yes, it's still going on, as we know. So what got you interested in theater, Jet? You've been in it a long time, and you have a degree in drama from Chico State?
Oh, actually, I have a minor in drama from Chico State, but I did get involved in high school. A young girl that I knew asked me to be a curtain puller for Bye Bye Birdie, and I just fell in love with it. I mean, all I did was pull the curtain, but I saw these lovely girls, and I said, boy, this might be the place to hang out. And then I did do some acting at Chico State. Well, actually, I started at Santa Ana Junior College and did a summer show there, and I didn't really have much acting experience, and I didn't even get cast, but they made me the backstage manager of sorts, and so I got involved that way.
Yeah, and you've done a lot here in town, Riverfront and Axiom, and you've been very active this year.
Yes, I've been in many, many shows over the years, including out at Shasta College. And I've even got to sing on stage, which has been very exciting for me.
I guess so. When was that?
Oh, well, I played in Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh, you did
play
in Bye Bye
And I was
Bye
Mr.
Birdie.
McAfee this time instead of the curtain puller.
Out of the college.
Yes, yeah. And I did get to sing quite a few songs with that. And then I also got tagged a few years before that. I came in very late because someone had dropped out and they had to reshuffle, which happens in, you know, local community theater at times. And I got to play Teen Angel, which was, you know, the role in Grease, which requires one song. That's all I got, which was a Beauty School Dropout. And I really enjoyed that.
That is a funny song. So was that your favorite role? Do you have a favorite role?
That's a good question.
One you'd like to, you know, do again or?
I don't know. My very first lead, I was really excited about Face on the Barroom Floor at Riverfront Playhouse. And I just had a great time with it. You know, my daughter was in the play. You know, I've involved my family in lots of different plays. But I think actually my favorite has been directing because I directed a lot of the student shows at Riverfront Playhouse for many years.
Oh, that's what I was wondering about, if you had been a director because of your degree and everything, I figured, and you have a lot of experience.
Yes.
So you like directing.
Yes, I do, and I have in the past.
And are you going to direct at Axiom?
I don't know. It's very possible. I haven't.
I guess you have.
Closed
do you pick a play and say, "I would like to direct this"? If you want to do this play, or
that's basically what would probably happen. I'd go to Axiom and just say, "Hey, I have an interest in directing a play. Why don't you look at because they do theirs seasons, year by year, so the whole season is set."
Yes, it is set now, but then people disappear too.
It can happen.
We gotta have a director. Oh, thank you. Ernie, how about you? Where did you start in theater?
Probably in high school with our current director, Miss Nancy Hill. She was Nancy Davis back then. And I was privileged to get to make my stage debut with her and the drama teams and the show choir and fell in love with the stage. But uniquely, I actually fell in love with being a props mistress.
Oh.
I love set dressing and I call it the stuff and things of the stage, you know, but it builds a character for the audience that's really important, which is the setting.
It does.
Which the story takes place in. It makes it more believable. So I started with Axiom actually about 2 years ago helping in that realm. and just volunteering with props. And then slowly but surely, they've coaxed me out of the shadows and back mm-hmm. onto the stage. So yeah. this is my second show with them.
Oh, you're doing such a great job. I can't imagine that you haven't had more stage experience.
No, it's been 20 years. And this will be my first show with actual lines and parts.
Wow. Yeah. That's really impressive.
I'm just super honored to be a part of such a cast and show and get to learn from the best of the best.
Me too. This is an amazing cast. Everybody is just so perfect for their parts. It's like, oh my God.
Yes. It's fallen together so beautifully and just clicked and... And really visualize the characters.
Yeah, Nancy is just, she's the best. She is a great director.
I do like her directing style.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I feel really seen as an actor, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel like she will give you direction and tell you what you need. And some directors just let you go because they're concerned with the way the place looks or something. And she's very, very hands-on. I really like it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And she's been doing this for quite a while.
She has. Yes. She has.
Yeah, she must have started when she was 12.
I know. She looks like a child.
I love how she'll tell you, too, to trust the process, okay? It might get a little, you're not sure what's happening, but just trust the process. And it really does work. It all comes together. The magic happens. And how she visualizes that. I can only imagine as a director, Jet, that you have that same skill and capability of making that magic. You see it in your head outside of the script and the actors and all of that. And so I think that's just such a superpower and such a cool thing. And, you know, I just love to watch that happen across their faces too as things progress through the show.
Do you think about directing?
I do. I really like the idea of writing as well. I've had a very unique life and been told many times that I should somehow get my story out.
Absolutely.
And I would actually love to write a musical. I guess, Baz Luhrmann style song, uh-huh. Moulin Rouge dance. My life's been kind of, I've got a soundtrack to my life and uh-huh. just the different things that have happened. But, you know...
I know, it takes time, and you've got yeah. a family. And
developing the courage, I think. I'm still working on my stage fright and developing the courage to be like, hey, I have a story that's worth hearing, you know?
I think everybody does.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when I was researching Norma McCorvey's mother, I was saying, I wish there was a book about her. I wish she'd written something about her life, you know, how she felt and what she was like. And
mm-hmm. Even a letter to a friend,
yeah,
you know, that got published later, like Anne Frank's diary, even that, those glimpses into the people really tell a story of who they are, help you build that character in your mind. And it's such a neat thing to develop.
It is. I wish everybody would write their story. Mm-hmm. I wish I would write my story too.
Absolutely. When I was a CNA, my dream was to get our residents to tell their stories and record them on like tape.
What's CNA?
It's a certified nursing assistant.
Oh, and that's what you do.
I was
that's
for
your
5
day
years.
Job. Oh, it was your day job.
Yes, ma'am. And until recently. And yeah, but I always thought listening to people's story was such the great part of that job. Was getting to work with so many people. Hi, how you doing? Why are you here? What brought you here? Tell me about yourself and your life. And again, the unique stories that everybody has.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we need to tell everybody that who you are and the cool things that you have done and accomplished and things you've conquered.
And things you want to conquer.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopes and dreams.
Do you write it all, Jet?
Oh, not really. I've written a few things down, but I haven't really considered doing like a full-blown play or anything like that. I take notes.
Great. Did you guys have a good time when you were working on the play the other night?
Oh, yes. The character development that Nancy had us work on was excellent. You know, it's great hearing, too, the stories from the cast members of their own lives, mm-hmm. you know, and how they identify with all these different characters that have such different viewpoints
right.
in Roe.
Right. And you do such a good job with Flip Benham, and I liked your insights into him. And I think you said he was still alive.
Yes, I believe so. And I know both his sons were professional baseball players and had a show on HDTV or something like that. And they were very controversial as well as Flip, you know.
Well, the play is very interesting because it's about real people, people who have been, you know, they're not exactly presented as they are, but pretty much as we can in a short time and short space. And what would you like to add about the play, Ernie? What do you feel is like the, well, I think the main thing of the play is that it presents different views, different viewpoints, and nobody is a great hero in this play.
I think it's a very multifaceted human experience.
All the people feel real.
And each person really has their own story of how they are convicted in their belief. As we all do, as human beings, we have our own faith and our own beliefs, and these are our core truths. And we really have found a script and a team of people that bring each of those moments to light on the stage and in that character, in our motivation, in the way we present, the wording even, just the emotion. And I just think it's really such a unique thing. And my characters play, I play the whole gamut of belief and reason.
Yes, you do.
Why each of my characters have a different point of view, but they all tie together too, and it's a seamless show for me too. And so it's such a unique, beautiful experience to hear all sides of the point of view without, I believe, really without a fight. We're very passionate, we bring the passion, but this is not like a dirty fight. This is just really bringing the facts to light.
Right.
From all the points of view.
And you get a good background of Norma, I think, and what was going on with her.
Absolutely. And the lawyers involved on each side and the doctors
history.
Involved. I mean, even their motivations behind their choices to help, to not help. Those were real choices, too, that came with deep motivation and conviction from their personal experiences in their lives. And I couldn't imagine being any one of these people in real life, but it is a privilege to get to try to bring their story to life.
It is. It really is. Anything you'd like to add, Jet? Anything about...
Well, I was just going to say, too, that these characters, yeah, they present... several different sides, not just, you know, black and white. This is such a controversial issue, and I think that the way this play is presented, it really brings to life, you know, what was going on then, and through the decades, what's been happening, and it finishes in 2022. It like grows through this whole process. I'm astounded with how well written it is. Lisa Luma, who wrote the play, did a lot of research to be able to put this together and to present both sides somewhat equally, you know, to show how somebody might be pro-life or pro-choice.
Right.
And I play a character from each side.
Right. Who else do you play besides Flip Benham?
Well, Flip Benham is definitely pro-life. Okay, I mean, he sits in front of abortion clinics. I mean, he's done all that. But Justice Blackmun, who made the original decision, or at least he presented the decision of the Supreme Court, was more pro-choice and was influenced by his wife and his daughter.
Which he says in the play, yeah. I love the way the characters step out and talk to the audience mm-hmm. at certain points, and they will tell you who they are and how they ended up. It's really a rewarding experience, I think.
I think it will be for the audience as
yeah,
well
yeah.
to really be engaged.
I would love to watch it.
Mm-hmm, I would too. And that's the fun part of being in a show is how envious I get of the audience member because I want to sit and watch it, but I also still want to be a part of it.
And
you
it's
can't
fresh.
Be in two places, right?
It's fresh.
Well, I saw the first version of this in Ashland.
That's right,
and so
you
I did get to watch it. And I was totally enthralled. My wife and I sat through it. And just after we left, it's like, my gosh, so much to think about. So many things that went on in that show, and it has changed a bit since then.
It has.
Because Roe no longer is the law of the land, which is amazing that this is all taking place right now.
Right now, and we're in the middle of it.
Yes.
It's very exciting. Was that the premiere in Ashland?
Yes, it was the premiere.
And that was, what, 3 years ago?
Oh, I think it was more like four.
Okay.
But it was before the pandemic hit, at least.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
I do want to let any potential audience members know that I really feel we don't present an antagonist in this show. No one is the bad guy. And I really feel like that's going to be a unique effect when we create drama, because typically you have a protagonist and an antagonist in drama. And this show brings a unique drama to the stage without pointing the finger at any one person or party or belief and saying, you are wrong. And I just absolutely adore that. And I want people to not be afraid of the name of the play, Roe, and what's happening in the country, and come out with an open heart and mind and experience something that's going to let you make your choices and stand beside you in that.
Good. Yes.
And I want to mention, too, there's a lot of strong language in the show.
There is. Yes.
And yet,
you
know, it's not something I would bring, you know, a very young child to. But someone in their teens that can register and understand these things mm-hmm. and understand the feelings that are going into the strong language.
Right.
They will appreciate it because it's presented theatrically and well. I mean, it's not like just thrown in there to, you know, throw people off or something.
My character has a lot of that strong language.
Which you do so beautifully, and I absolutely adore watching you portray this character. And I love it. You just really managed to embody her in very different facets. And
thank you.
And the strong language is included in that. I do believe that it's necessary for that character to say those words.
Well, on that note, I have one more question for you. Do you know anything about Ruthless?
I know there's a murder.
And it's a musical. I've heard the music. I've heard people singing. And
it's fantastic musical.
Great voices.
A lot of big characters.
Theatrical. It's
theatrical. And I believe it is actually about one child killing another child.
Oh my God.
During auditions.
Children?
Yes. And so it's like it's a very drama, outlandish presentation of like children actors and the competitiveness. And
but it's not played by children.
There is a child in the show, two children in the show, I believe. And then like she winds up going on to like getting a scholarship and going on to drama school after she kills the competition.
Okay, so
yeah.
Interesting.
Right.
I can't wait to see it.
No, it's going to be an absolutely amazing show.
And despite the murder, it is a comedy as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate this. If there's anything else you'd like to add, please feel free.
Well, I'm just very concerned that, you know, the people of Reading get out and support theater and come to see this, because they will leave the theater thinking about the play, about what Roe represents. And I don't think anybody who comes in pro-life or pro-choice will change their views.
I don't think so either.
But I think they will have an appreciation for the other side.
I hope so.
I do. I think this play sheds light to the uniqueness of why individuals make these choices. And nothing is cookie cutter about these kinds of choices in life. And every woman and or man in this, you know, situation is presented with their own life choices that brought them to this choice. And we really do show a multifaceted jewel. And I believe the audience members will be able to connect with each character in different ways.
Yeah, on some level.
On some level. Yeah. Absolutely. Each character. And that to me is really, like Jet said, I believe it's going to be an experience where it's mind expanding. I know my mind has been very expanded. I came into this with a very strong opinion and very, very passionate with nice fire brewing. And I have to say, my views have expanded. My passions have cooled, not completely, but enough to be like, all right, let's really take a look at other people's opinions and choices and the reasoning why they might make this choice for themselves.
Right.
And that has been a rewarding personal experience.
And I hope it will be for everybody who sees it.
I do. I think we're going to share that with our audience.
I think so too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And come and see us. Now, I want to thank you for joining me and my guests this evening, and I hope that you will be with us when we resume next month on the third Thursday, and have a wonderful evening.
The butcher, the baker, the grocer, the clerk are secretly unhappy men because the butcher, the baker, the grocer, the clerk get paid. Do but no applause. They'd gladly bid their dreary jobs goodbye for anything theatrical and wild. There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Thing about it is